So we're in a summer series. We just started it last week. It's the Summer of Wisdom series, talking about knowing right, doing right, and living right. That's the whole part, or the whole point of what we're doing. Last week we had a challenge, and here is our challenge. We had four pieces to it. I want to encourage you to consider one or more of these. Audit your motives. Why do you do the good things? Sometimes the good things we do is for our own good. It really isn't for the good of doing for God or for others. So auditing our motives, why do we do what we do? The fig leaf inventory. We talked about how Eve wrapped herself with the fig leaf and Adam wrapped themselves to hide themselves. And sometimes we hide our sin and shame from God because we don't want to be exposed. And so what is the fig leaf? And then we encouraged you to confess. Maybe you haven't confessed to the Lord or to others. I challenged you guys to consider confessing to God or to another person. A last challenge would have been maybe doing a first 15, last 15, starting your day or ending your day with 15 minutes of time with the Lord. I succeeded, I believe, most every day with the first 15, not so much the last 15. My routine by the end of the day, we watch movies sometimes with the boys, and I'm faded by the time the movie's halfway over. So it was a pretty exhausting week for me this week. So the last 15 didn't work so well, but the first 15 was really great. It changed a little bit of my structure. We talked about discipline, and that's starting to create a discipline, a better discipline in my life, and I'm really grateful. I hope that some of you maybe started into some of this. If not, it's certainly not too late. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I, Angie and I, we went down to watch Annie. It was a little community skit or sketch that was going on. My niece, her name is London. London was the lead role. London was the Annie of the little corporate homeschooling group that was doing this play. It was a really, really great play. But in the process of getting to the point of going, we were going with her parents. So my in-laws showed up at the house, and when they pulled in, my father-in-law is like, there's something going on with the car. The check engine light just came on. I'm like, oh, that's no big deal for us. We've got a vehicle. We'll just hop in my vehicle and we'll head down. So he you know, sits down in Crystal, Minnesota, so down in the cities. And he made it sound like he knew where we were going. So he was co-pilot and I'm the pilot. And so we hop in. I don't know about you, but when it comes to my process of going from one place to another, first thing I'm going to do is open up my phone. I want to pull up Apple Maps and type in my destination, right? I want to know where I'm going, and really, it makes me a little bit stupid. It really does, because I don't have to do anything but watch the screen and make sure I turn when I'm supposed to turn. So but I like it. I use it all the time, and sometimes what it'll do is it'll redirect me because there's an accident or there's road construction or something. So there's a lot of value in doing that. I hit go, and then I go. To go to Crystal, I've been there plenty of times. I would typically go down 65, go to 610, over to 169, and then head down. That's how I would do it. Well, we get in the car, and my father-in-law's like, okay, I want you to just go right to 47, and you're going to go straight down 47, all the way down to 169, going through Anoka and all that. Okay. You're the co-pilot. You go ahead and tell me where to go, and I'll go. He didn't pull up his phone. He didn't do anything like that. Just go. Okay, so I'm driving, get down to 169, go down to, he's like, we're looking for Rockford Road. Okay, Rockford Road, there it is. We turn off on Rockford Road, and then all of a sudden he pulls out this piece of paper, unfolds this piece of paper. He's like, the address is, and he tells me the address. I'm like, that's not going to, my maps will point me right where I need to go. Okay, so I don't know how much further I have to go. I'm sitting there driving and got stoplights, and I'm trying to look as you're going by these businesses for the address, the business address. So you know if you're going closer or further. Okay, I got to turn around somewhere if I've gone too far. So we see a number, and when we see the next number, okay, we're going the right direction. So, okay, it's about a mile away because it's about 100, whatever. So I'm going. Eventually, we figure it out. We get there, and we didn't have to turn around. We didn't miss anything. We got it all figured out. His way worked out just fine. Well, why do I bring this up? Well, I bring this up because it's less about the destination at this point, our conversation today, less about the destination, more about the path. You see, there were many paths that we could have taken to get from one point to the next point. And his path that he wanted to take was different than the path I wanted to take. Unfortunately, that isn't the case in life. In life, we are in this process here of discovering the summer of wisdom. There are only two paths in life that we can take. It's the path of wisdom or the path of foolishness. Each path has its own destination, and they're not going to lead to the same place. We are exploring what it takes to lead our life down the correct path. Today is about the two paths. Oftentimes, we are misguided. We think that our decisions today will not make much difference tomorrow. We live in a comparison mindset. Well, you know, I may not be as good as so-and-so, but I'm certainly not as bad as so-and-so, right? We live in this middle ground when in reality, that is not the way, the path that God is calling us to. Biblical wisdom says that there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Every one of us is on a path. That path is either going to build you up in wisdom, or that path is going to bring you down in foolishness. Every one of us is on a path, and our daily habits are what determines which road we're on. The two paths. The first path is the path of the wicked. We're going to be going into Proverbs chapter 4, and many of our verses will come from Proverbs chapter 4, but verses 14 and 15 says this: "Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving." Isn't it interesting the number of times it says not to do something just in these two verses? Don't do what the wicked do. Don't go to the places the wicked people go. Don't be curious about their ways. Don't go their directions. But what you are to do, you are to look a different direction. You are to keep going the opposite direction. Those are all commands found in these two verses. Take a moment and consider someone you know who is going down the wrong path. Someone you know that is obviously going down the wicked path. Where did this life of foolishness start for them? Was it an intentional decision? I want to get to the path of the best, worst place scenario in my life, so I'm going to just go right there. Typically, that's not it, right? It's one foolish choice after another, followed by another foolish choice that leads them down the path of wickedness. Nobody has a destination, I want to live a life of wickedness. It's usually where they end up because of multiple choices they make. People rarely are intentional to go down the path of wickedness. It all starts with one small decision, one compromised boundary. If you got away with it once, you'll do it again. One toxic friendship, because influence always happens. Influence always happens. I've told my kids this as they grew up. Influence always happens, and it usually happens towards the negative. Rarely does influence cause a person who is on the negative side of life to come up. Friends, we have to be very careful because influence is always happening. Could be one compromised boundary, one toxic friendship, maybe one compromise in honesty. It's just a little white lie. Nobody's going to know. Yeah, well, it's really for your good that I'm doing this. Well, it's really for my good that I'm doing this. One small choice. Here's the problem. If we choose this path, it's going to be like living in blindness. I wear contacts, and if I don't have my contacts in, I can hardly see. Like, everything is blurry. You guys would be just blurs to me. You'd be like, what is he looking at? Well, I'm looking at nothing Okay, got to get it close so that I can see it because my eyes are so bad. But this is different. Nearsightedness is different than blindness. Blindness is nothing at all. And if we choose to go down the path of wickedness, it's like living in blindness. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 says this. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they're stumbling over. They have no idea. Anybody here like walking through like farm fields that have, you know, grass or whatever, maybe cornfields or whatever, you like to do that? Now, how many of you like to do that at night? Just, you know, the big wide open field that looks so beautiful during the day. Okay, at night without a flashlight. That brings terror, right? That brings fear. You see, if we continue to walk down the path of wickedness, you're going to become more and more blind to your poor choices and how deeply miserable they're going to make you and the people that love you. We've got to choose a different path. The other path is the path of the righteous. The path of the righteous. Proverbs 4:18 says this. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. Anybody morning people, early morning people, like to catch the sun as it first comes up? See, this is the path of wisdom. You'll understand that if you've seen the morning come up and the morning sun come up. When the sun starts to come up, you begin to see the outlines of the trees, right? You see the horizon now separating the earth from the sky. You start to see colors, birds, animals. You can see things. And as the sun continues to rise, the surrounding becomes more and more clear. That's the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom might start out, it usually starts out kind of foggy, just like that early morning sun just starting to come up. Have you ever made the right choice even though it was difficult? What did that feel like when you made a right choice even though it was difficult? See, saying no to your fleshly desire, but saying yes to the right choices, it doesn't always feel good in the moment. But that's the path of wisdom. You begin to see, just like the sun is rising, you start to see more clearly the value of making the right choice. But the more you choose the right things, the more clear, like I said, those things get, and they're bringing you life and not death. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 says this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose, what the purpose of what? The Proverbs, is to teach people, if you're a people, raise your hand. I'm a people. Teach me wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, is giving us his insights so that we can grow and live well. It's interesting that Solomon says that this is to teach us wisdom, which is knowing and doing the right thing. We talked about that last week. Wisdom is knowing and doing the right thing. Knowledge is knowing the right thing. Wisdom is knowing and doing the right thing. But it's also there to teach us discipline. It's really interesting, as you walk through Proverbs, wisdom and discipline are often coupled together. And in the original Hebrew, sometimes words, you know, they try to, in English, try to expand on the word to make sure that we understand what it says. These are two separate words, wisdom and discipline. Discipline is a long-term pattern of doing the right thing. Discipline doesn't come quickly. It's interesting. Nobody accidentally will become wise. You will not accidentally become wise. Wisdom happens by daily self-control, which leads to a pattern of discipline, which then leads to a life of wisdom. that wisdom will eventually bring ultimate clarity. It's really interesting. I had some young adults at our house with the bonfire on Friday night, and we were talking about the difference between wisdom and discipline, and how discipline, we don't want discipline. But Solomon is telling us, if you want to have wisdom and learn the way of righteousness, you must have discipline. How disciplined are our lives? How disciplined are we in a pattern that is leading us toward life? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13 says this: take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. See, you can only lead somebody where you've been. A wise person will follow the advice of another wise person. Proverbs 12, 15 says this: fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Do you know somebody who fell into the trap of feeling like they're wise, but they've really been foolish because they've chosen not to ask anybody else their opinion? Yeah, that's like sometimes like circling the drain, I feel like. Why won't you ask? Because we have such clarity. I want to tell you some wisdom in this situation, but you're unwilling. You want to walk blindly. Solomon knew and was known to be as the wisest person who ever lived. He's written these down for all of us who haven't achieved what he has. He's further down the road so that we might become more wise than we already are. These words by Solomon are for you and they're for me. Like I said before, walking the path of righteousness isn't done passively. Notice we are to take hold, was one of the other verses. Take hold of this instruction. Hold tight to it. Nobody will accidentally become more wise. We must hear it. We must do it. Even at the risk of losing something. When you gain in wisdom, you might lose some things. You might lose some friendships. You might lose some money. You might lose a position at work. You might lose some family relationships. You have to ask yourself, is it going to be worth it to gain the wisdom to potentially lose some things? So we looked at the path of the wicked. We looked at the path of the righteous. How do we stay on the path of the righteous? If we get on it, if we choose to make that decision to go the path of the righteous, how do we stay there? Solomon challenges us that if we desire a righteous destination, we must get our whole body involved. It takes our whole body, just like we went through soul care, and it was a whole body thing we had to work through, a whole life thing, a whole history thing. This, in order for you to stay on the path of the righteous, it's going to take your whole body. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, first of all, it's going to take your heart. It's going to take your heart. Solomon says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. If you were to take an inventory of your heart, what would it reveal? I was just walking through Walmart the other day, and as I'm going through, there are all these people who are working diligently. They had a clipboard in front of them, and they were flipping through all of these things. And they'd stop and write down. And they'd go somewhere else, some with scanners, and they're scanning stuff, and they write it down or whatever. You've seen those people that click. They're like focused, right? They're doing an inventory. What is the reality of what is here? It's a reality check. Friends, we need to guard our hearts above else. What is in the inventory of your heart? What paths of wickedness does your heart long for? In what ways do you see others going down the path of wickedness that draws your heart's attention? How are you going to intentionally guard your heart so that you change the path from the wicked to the righteous. It's going to take our heart, but it will also take our mouth and our eyes. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. This is wisdom. Wisdom is telling us that we need to change what's coming out of our mouth and what's going in our eyes. If a recording of your speech were to be replayed, would the listener say that you are probably going the path of the wicked or the righteous? Why does Solomon put so much weight on our speech? Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says this. This is from Jesus. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Solomon knew that. He says you need to be careful about what you say because what you're saying is revealing what's inside. If you have a vehicle, if you drive a vehicle and you open the hood, under the hood, there's a couple places where you can pull this thing out to determine what's inside that engine, a dipstick, right? You see, if your dipstick, you pull it out and the oil is low, you don't change your dipstick. You fix the cause of what's causing the revelation so that revelation shows what's truly inside. See, we can try to just change our speech, but that doesn't change our heart. So when you're out talking and you're thinking about the recording of your life and you're starting to record and have others maybe listen to what you are saying, and if it reveals something in your heart that you don't really like, it's an opportunity to say, Lord, I want you to change my heart. It's not about changing your speech, to change the heart. Then what's going to happen is naturally the speech is going to change. So he says to be careful about what's in our mouths and then also our eyes. Psalms 101 verse 3 says this, I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Does anybody know who wrote this? Psalm 101, 3. 101 is the whole chapter. King David wrote this. Isn't that interesting? I refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Does anybody know the story about David and Bathsheba? He says this. I was curious when I read this. Did he write this before or after Bathsheba when he had an affair with her? My understanding and scholars say that this was written after. This was his heart before sin entered. Lord, I don't want anything vile or vulgar coming into my eyes. Over time, he chose the path of wicked, and we have the opportunity to see what happened. You see, what happened was that he deeply desired. Then he stole, and he fulfilled his desire. He killed, and he lied. Just like King David, if we refuse to keep our eyes on the path of righteousness, we will most certainly live in wickedness. David was eventually restored, although not without consequences. The consequences were still there and true, although his relationship with God was mended. So friend, you might find that you've done something that just, you didn't follow the path of righteous, you went the path of wicked, and you feel that in you. The reality is that you just confessing with the Lord, I know I did wrong to you, and I'm very sorry, makes relationship right with him. But it doesn't necessarily fix the relationship stuff. There may still be consequences. You might be receiving the consequences of somebody else's poor behavior. It's reality. So we have to protect our heart, we have to protect our mouth and our eyes, and finally we need to protect our feet. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. So how do we know what direction to go? How do we know what the straight path is? How do we know what not to get sidetracked from? Well, Psalm 119, 105 says this. Your word, God, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You want to know what path to take? We need to dig into God's word. It needs to be a regular basis where you're washing over, you're reading it. I promise you, if you've read it all once before, you read it again, something else is going to stick out. The Bible is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to pierce through bone and marrow, soul and spirit, says in Hebrews. It's going to be active and it's going to affect in your life. You want to know the right path to take, you have to get into Scripture. Knowledge for anything starts small, but as you study, it grows. If you want to live righteously and wisely, you'll get to know the book because it is a light, a lamp to the feet, and a light for the path. You want to know the path, dig into God's word. The gospel, Jesus teaches us about the two paths as well. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he says this, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it." Jesus himself talks about the wide and the narrow, the easy, the difficult, the righteous, and the wicked. The wicked path is easy to find. It's easy to follow. The righteous path is more difficult. John chapter 14 says this, verse 6. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way." You want to know what direction to go? Jesus says, "I am the way." You want to know what path to follow? Jesus says, "I am the way." Don't be misguided. Don't be misled by anything else. Let me lead you the way and let him be the truth in your life. Because nobody comes to the Father, to Jesus, to the Father God, except through Jesus. Friend, Jesus is the only path that will make any difference in this life or the life to come. Will you or have you said yes to Jesus? You see, saying yes to Jesus is the wisest thing you can ever do. Maybe if you haven't made the decision, maybe today's the day. The day for you to say yes to Jesus. That's the beauty of baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. When you say, "Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I want to live the path of wisdom versus the path of folly, foolishness, and wickedness. I've done that long enough. I'm going to go the path of Jesus now. Jesus, you're the only one for me." When you do that, that's an inward decision you can make at any point in time. But don't wait too long. You don't know how long you have. But when you make that decision inside, we would love to celebrate with you. That's baptism. Going under is like dying to self, and coming up out of the water is like coming out of the grave as Jesus did, a brand new person. We get to celebrate with you. If you want to be baptized because you haven't been or you desire that for yourself, would you let me know? We would love to baptize you. We would love it. I've got several that are excited for that. We get to celebrate with them. Maybe that'll be you as well. So the challenge this week, I want to encourage you to ask yourself this question. If I keep walking in the exact direction I am walking right now, in my finances, in my marriage, in my secret habits, in my devotional life, where will I be in 5 years? My friends, do you see any drift in your life off the path of righteousness? If you do, I encourage you to turn around this week. Make one intentional step back to the path of righteousness. 1 degree. See what happens. See what God can do. Would you pray with me and we'll have some discussion? Father, I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful for your wisdom. I thank you that Jesus is the representation of wisdom, and that if we want to know how to live, how to think, that we would just look at Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us, because it's difficult to make these decisions when there's pressure. There's no pressure right here, right now, maybe. But tomorrow there might be. There might be a decision, a small decision, to begin the path of wickedness versus righteousness. Lord, would you convict us and show us the right path? And would you give us courage to follow that, follow you? Thank you that you desire for us to live a righteous life, and you give us the tools to do so. Help us, Lord, to use those tools well. In Jesus' name, amen.